Hello there and welcome to another Saint Station podcast, and it's our first podcast of 2015. We've been away for a little while, but we're back now for this latest podcast, and every 2 weeks we'll be getting the views and reactions of the goings-on in the Welsh Premier League. And this evening I'm joined by the Chief Operating Officer of the New Saints, Ian Williams, and for the next 30 minutes we'll be bringing you bang up to date with all the news and reaction for the last few weeks' news in the Welsh Premier League. So welcome to the show, Ian, and I'll start off by talking about Monday. It was transfer deadline day. It's usually quite a busy one for most leagues, but for the whole of the league and for TNS, it was a pretty quiet one in the end.
It was, but I actually got home at 11:45 on Monday night, or virtually the early hours of Tuesday morning, really. There was obviously a late deal with Sam Finlay, and as everybody knows, he's gone on loan to Wrexham until the end of the season.
And how did that come about? Was that just a late move on the day, or has it been bubbling up for a few weeks? Or
yeah, I think conversations had been had prior to that. Obviously, Sam's keen to progress as a player. He's a great asset for our club, and he's done ever so well for us in the time that he's been with us. One or two clubs expressed a keen interest in him, and at the end of the day, the Wrexham move for him came off, and that's where he is.
Was there the interest? Was that in the summer, or was there more interest in January as well, apart from the Wrexham move?
I think that interest has always been there throughout, really, to be honest with you. His talent is there for everybody to see. You know, he's a good young player, one young player of the season last season. Hasn't had many games this year with injuries that he's had, but I'm sure he'll perform well for Wrexham till the end of the season.
And you speak about that, he's not played that many games this season. Does that, on the context, it looks like it won't affect TNS too much because they've got that core of midfielders that have been doing well in his absence?
Yeah, very much so, really. You know, we've been consistent, you know, throughout this season, and lots of those games haven't included Sam. So yeah, we've got quality, you know, in depth throughout the squad, and you know, the guys that have been playing in midfield, the likes of Aaron Edwards, Chris Sargent and others have done a really good job.
And obviously he's only gone on loan till the end of the season. Is that with a view to a permanent move, or will he be coming back to TNS in the summer?
We've had those conversations. Let's see what happens come the end of the season. You know, what Sam needs to do is put in some good performances for them. It puts him in the shop window, playing in a different level of football in England. And who knows what's going to happen come the end of the season.
And obviously Wrexham at the moment, they're struggling for results at the moment. The manager's come out and said he's the right man for the job. So it may be a good situation for Sam to go in there and, you know, lift them and show what he can do.
Yeah, and obviously with Carl Darlington being there as well, that will help Sam settle in there. It's a new challenge for him, I suppose. He needs to get games, because he hasn't played many games for us this season through injury. So I think it's a good move for everybody concerned, for us, for Sam and for Wrexham, and hopefully on the back of that, you know, he'll put some good performances in.
And sort of on the context, it was quite quiet with no one coming in the end.
No, obviously we looked about, and like all clubs, you know, if there are players available for us, but no, there was no movement with players coming in. Obviously we had Jamie Reid, which we'd signed well in advance of the transfer window, and he wasn't able to play until January. So you could say that's a new signing for us anyway, I suppose.
And just moving away from that, obviously the big news in the league this week, after, you know, there was not a lot of transfer news about, it came through yesterday. The FAW have announced that four more clubs will now have 3G pitches as of next season. Pitches are set to be installed at Aberystwyth Park Avenue, Carmarthen's Richmond Park. Kevin Druids will have a synthetic pitch, either at The Rock or at Yoscol Rhiwabon. And Connors Quay are having one at Connors Quay High School. And Ian, you know, you're on the FAW Council, and these things are sort of bandied about all the time. What do you make of this sort of move? There'll be seven teams now in the league with these 3G pitches.
It's the future of the game in Wales, as I personally see it, because, you know, having experienced you know, the benefits that it's brought us as a club, it's certainly the way forward, because it not only improves the playing surfaces, but it also creates community hubs within each of the communities and the clubs that have been fortunate to get the funding to make that happen. It certainly made a massive difference for us, having installed that eight seasons ago now. So I suppose we were the pioneers in those early days, and you know, our forward thinking around that time has certainly enabled us to sustain a very successful football business here at Park Hall.
And obviously now that will bring it up to obviously seven teams. Newtown and Airbus had one installed in the summer. You said TNS had one 8 years ago. If there is, you know, if the format stays at 12 teams and 12 teams in the end do get 3G pitches, is that a negative effect on the league or is that positive all round? Because, you know, no other league in the world I can think of that's got a full set of 3G pitches.
No, I think it's what, you know, I think what happens is people automatically compare what happens in Wales with what's happening in England. And it's like apples and pears, isn't it? You can't really compare the two. And what we should be doing perhaps with football in Wales is comparing our football with smaller nations throughout Europe, and certainly the Scandinavian countries, the majority of those utilise 3G pitches for matches and for training, and I think certainly for Wales and the development of the game in Wales, 3G pitches are the way forward.
And obviously you said it was eight seasons ago that you had the pitch. And we said there, TNS sort of bucked the trend and were the catalyst for a lot of teams. And TNS was sort of ridiculed over the first few years for having this, you know, in inverted commas, plastic pitch. But as you said, you've been a catalyst for these other clubs and it's come sort of full circle now.
Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, be used as a really good case study for it working.
And there was a sort of stigma around it to start with, wasn't there? And people... I traditionalists think, of the game, they seem to be coming round more to the idea.
I think so. I think, don't get me wrong, I think that there's nothing better than playing on a good grass surface, but you have to be realistic, certainly from a Welsh perspective, in terms of what a 3G pitch brings the club in terms of extra revenue, in terms of the quality of the surface, and it certainly brought that for us over the last 8 years. You know, we're virtually at capacity now in terms of the pitch, and we're looking at expanding our facilities here. We've just bought additional land to provide more pitches, which will further enhance our football development programme and sustain our football business for many years to come.
And I was just going to come on to that now. Obviously, you've got the smaller 3G pitches that are coming just up the road at Park Hall. Obviously, the pitch here has been here for a fair few years now. Is there any plans to replace that and rip it up and put a new surface down, or?
Yeah, we're looking at that at the end of this season. So for the start of next season, we'll be having a new pitch in place, which will be FIFA 2 star compliant, which enable us to play UEFA games here again, which is important to the club.
Will that be in place for the European games, or will that be beyond that?
Yes, that's the intention. So we're talking to suppliers at the moment with a view to that happening at the end of the season.
And obviously that's a positive thing, because over the last few years, I know you played, I think it was Legia Warsaw at Wrexham, and last year you played Slovan at Rill, so that's, you know, added incentive for the club to replace the pitch.
Yeah, I think... circumstances with those two teams dictated that we had to play the games away from home purely based on numbers, because obviously our capacity here is only 1,000, and certainly with the Legia Warsaw game, with the crowd being as it was, we needed to take that game to Wrexham. We weren't able to use Wrexham Stadium last season because of work taking place at the racecourse, and we took the game to Rill. But there's nothing like playing those European games here at Park Hall, and
think back to the Bohemians.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, what a great night that was, you know, and I don't think anybody, you know, the couple of hundred Irish supporters that were here soaking wet through didn't expect that result, and it was a great performance on the night, which gave us that glamour tie against Anderlecht, and then. Obviously, having lost that game, we went into the Europa League playoffs, and we lost to CSK Sofia from Bulgaria. And the first leg, we were no goals with about 8 minutes to go, I think. And I've never been so numb in a football stadium at the end of a game when we've come and lost that game 3-0 with three goals in a crazy 3 or 4 minutes. But I think, you know, that game and other games of late have stood us in good stead, and I think the performances in Europe have been very, very good. That's our next challenge. I think it's important for us to focus on our priorities, which obviously there's nothing guaranteed, but we're obviously well ahead in terms of our position in the Welsh Premier League, and hopefully, barring no real disasters, you know, we should be there come the end of the season, and we're starting that preparation now for Europe, looking at games, an organisation of good games before that period, which is sometimes difficult to try and get games in sort of June time, yeah, when lots of other clubs are either just finishing their season or certainly not thinking about their pre-season arrangements. So we are looking perhaps further afield. We've gone to Ireland in the past and played games against the likes of Cliftonville and Linfield and Glentoran. But we are looking at other options, which possibly may be open to us, to give us a little bit more of a challenge and more competition again prior to those games, which are likely to come in at the end of June, early July, which is earlier again, having potentially to play in the first round as opposed to the second round.
Absolutely. No, we'll just touch on something else here, and we'll come back to the European conversation in a minute. Obviously, just in recent weeks and stuff, there's a few forums that are going on in the Welsh Premier League. You know, supporters, you know these forums. Me and you have seen them before. You know, most of the stuff that's on there is absolutely false. And some people have been speculating about the size of the league at the moment. There's been rumours it's going to go to 10. There's been more rumours this week it's going to go back to 14. I don't know how much truth there is in these stories. But Ian, on that front, what's your view on that? Because a lot of people have been bemoaning going to 10. Some people have been agreeing going back to 14 rather than 12. What's your sort of overall view on that at the moment?
I think to be honest with you, you know, if the finances were there, an 18 club league would be the ideal situation. But I think in Wales we have to be realistic. We have to live within our means and do what's best for the game in Wales. And yes, you're going to get opinions. People are going to say no, it should be 16, it should be 14, it should be 18, it should be 10, or whatever the number is. But I think, you know, there's lots of things happening behind the scenes at the FAW to make sure that the long-term sustainability of the league, the Welsh Premier League, but also the feeder leagues to the Welsh Premier League, because I think that is as important as the situation in the Welsh Premier, because what we want is an even split of clubs. There is obviously more clubs currently in North Wales and Central Wales playing in the league as opposed to South Wales clubs. So we're looking at ways, and you know, how can we encourage those clubs, predominantly from South Wales, I suppose, then to look at encouraging them to be promoted, I suppose, and going for the licence, which is important to make sure that the National League is well represented throughout the country.
Do you think the current system works, or do you think it's, you know, run its course? Does it need changing? Or
personally, I think the system works. I know people don't like the fact that you may find that you're playing the same team four times a season, or five times, six times if you're playing them again in cup competitions. But personally, as the situation is currently, I wouldn't change where we're currently at. I think we need to look at the you know, beyond our league and the domestic game in general, and how we can encourage more clubs to be part of the Welsh Premier structure. But like I said, you know, whatever happens, you know, it'll be done for, you know, in the best interests of the game in Wales, and everybody will be consulted and be part of that process.
Absolutely. And my argument's always been, I think I wrote about it a couple of weeks ago, in terms of sort of criteria, I know the criteria for the league is quite high at the moment. But isn't it, it's sort of, the league is striving to have 12 absolutely perfect grounds, which is good, but I can't think of another league in the world that has an ideal league with 12 absolutely perfect grounds. Even you look, for example, in the English Premier League, and when Portsmouth played there, you know, a quirky ground that people love going to. I know you've got your big Stamford Bridges and your Old Traffords and things like that, but doesn't it take a bit of the reality out of it if these standards are so high that other teams can't strive to that? Or is that, you know, I don't know about the background of the criteria and stuff, it might just be...
For me, I think club licensing has been the best thing for domestic football in Wales. I think without having that in place, which was a follow-on from UEFA licensing, which clubs have to have certain criteria in place in order for them to play in UEFA competitions. Yeah. And I think when the FAW brought in domestic licensing, it certainly raised the bar in terms of standards. Standards not only in terms of facilities. And, you know, I've been involved with the club here for 12 years. I was at Druids for 10 years prior to coming here and involved in the league for 4 or 5 years prior to coming to TNS. And I've seen an absolute massive change in terms of facilities, in terms of playing standards, in terms of the quality of the coaches. So there's lots of things which come out of club licensing which have certainly raised the standard of the domestic game in Wales. And it's not just about the facilities, you know, it's about the quality of the players, it's about the quality of the coaching, and it's about the quality of young players coming through a system as well. And you know, if you look at the academy systems in Wales now compared to where they were 10, 15 years ago, there's been a massive change and an improvement in that side of the game, which is important for clubs at all levels, because those players find their level. Some go on and move on to clubs in the English system, some stay and are retained within the Welsh Premier League, and others perhaps might find their level at lower leagues within the Welsh domestic game. But I think, you know, the quality of the players that are coming through that structure now are as good as they've ever been.
As you said then about the academies and the standard of football's definitely gone up since I've been watching it. I think I watched my first Welsh Prem game about 10 years ago. But in terms of the criteria for clubs coming up, does it sort of deter clubs to not want to strive to go up? You know, I know money's tight at clubs, you know, in the Welsh League and maybe in the Alliance. Does it deter clubs from coming up? Because just for, take an example, you know, Gilsfield, local to us, are absolutely flying in the Alliance at the moment. They've got a chance of winning the league, but they'll never have a chance of coming up because of the ground criteria. And, you know, and South Wales has struggled with that. I think there's only Haverford West who are probably eligible to go up from, I think it's Monmouth as well.
Yeah, I think whatever level you're at, you have to have a standard. Yeah. Have a standard to aspire to. Obviously, there's a standard to aspire to in order to play in the Welsh Premier League. There's also ground criteria which you have to have in place in order to play in the Cymru Alliance or the Welsh League. And these are the kind of things that the FAW are looking at behind the scenes to ensure that the transition from those feeder leagues up to the National League is a seamless transition, really. And yes, clubs need that financial assistance to make that happen, but there's lots of other things that clubs need to put in place outside of just the infrastructure. You know, the investment that goes into the domestic game from the FAW's point of view is considerable. It's certainly considerably more than it was 5-10 years ago.
Do you think some of these things we're talking about now in terms of people wanting to go to an 18-team league, do you think they'll become a more realistic possibility if maybe Wales qualify for Euro 2016 and then, you know, there's more money that's filtered down to the Welsh Prem?
I think it'd be fair to say that the whole financial landscape of the game in Wales will change overnight. With Touchwood, hopefully Wales qualifying for the Euros in 2016, and there's an absolute possibility that may happen with the great start to the campaign that Wales has had. So obviously we can't tempt fate, we can't predict that's going to happen, but I think with more investment coming into the game in Wales, with the international team being successful and continuing to be successful, and there's some really talented players in that squad now, so that's going to have a trickle-on effect to the game at grassroots and throughout the domestic game in Wales, certainly.
So there's no pressure on Mr. Coleman and his men to qualify for the Euros.
No pressure on.
Well, that's you know, it's a hot topic in the league and a lot of people talk about it. We've only got 10 minutes left, so we'll just move on to a few final points. As you said, Ian, the Saints are 14 points clear at the top. And in terms of standard that we just talked about then, certainly in my point of view, the team here at Park Hall on a personal level has just been getting better and better every season.
Yeah, I think that's... We always set ourselves very high targets, and certainly Craig is a master of that, really, and you know, during his short time with the club, you know, we've had success after success, and you know, he's very much a passionate individual about the game and expects the same passion and commitment and standards, you know, from his players on the pitch, and that's evident in terms of us, I suppose, continuing to improve, continuing to raise the bar, and like I said before, our next challenge is to get through those early rounds in Europe to get us into one of those group phases, whether that's the Champions League or the Europa League. And I think as soon as that happens, again, you talked about the international squad qualifying for the Euros in 2016. I think as soon as a club in Wales, and hopefully we'll be that first club to get into a group phase situation, again, I think the whole domestic game in Wales will change overnight. And I think what that will bring, it'll bring more exposure to certainly to our club. It will bring more exposure to the game in Wales. It will hopefully bring more investment into the game, and people will start to realise that certainly we as a club and the league and the clubs within our league are serious about what they want to achieve. And I suppose the easiest option for people from our point of view is to say, well, isn't your easy option to go and play in England, because obviously we're in that unique situation that we're based in England, but we're very much a Welsh club, always have been and always will be. Yes, we're a merged club with Oswestry Town, who again were founder members of the FAW. That's where we play our football. That's where we'll continue to play our football, and hopefully sooner rather than later we'll be that first club to get into that group phase of either the Champions League or the Europa League. And I really think now there's a distinct possibility of that happening, because you know we're preparing our team not only to be domestically successful in Wales, but also to be successful in Europe, because that's what all the best teams look to do. You know, your Man United, your Barcelona, your Real Madrid, that's what they're working towards, that ultimate aim of winning the Champions League, because that's got to be everybody's aim, whatever level of football you're playing at. And yes, people might snigger and say, well, you got no chance of doing that. But I think unless you set your goals and your standards high enough to hopefully realise that ambition, then why are you playing in the first place? And I think, you know, you look at the likes of Shrewsbury Town and Wrexham, who are our sort of footballing neighbours over the border in England, and they'll never, at this moment in time, have an opportunity to play in the best club competition in the world. Whereas we as a club have got that opportunity. And you know, the more success that we have on that front will hopefully bring more investment into our club. Certainly from a commercial point of view, it'll make companies and sponsors and all stakeholders that are involved in the game, either directly or indirectly, they might sort of think, well, hang on a minute, what they've got there is quite good, really. But I think what people tend to do is perhaps look at our situation and other clubs in Wales and say, well, perhaps that's not as good as what's happening over the border in England. Yeah. And that's purely based on numbers, because there might be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people watching those games, whereas there's the 300, 400, 500 watching games in Wales. And perhaps if those numbers were different, perhaps people's perception of the quality of the domestic game in Wales may change.
Yeah. And we said there about the quality of certainly the team here at TNS improving. Is that underlined by, you know, that move on Monday for Sam Finlay? I can remember in the past, Craig Jones, who I think is still a captain at Bury, and just another one off the top of me, I think when Chris Sharp went to Hereford. Does that show, you know, these players are moving on and going into the English system, playing at a good level? That shows the club's improving.
Yeah, the club is improving and the squad is improving year on year. But what better shot window for those players to play in is the Champions League, in my view. I know I've got a selfish view on that, but I think, you know, as a club, that's what we're striving for. We're striving to progress through those early rounds of UEFA competitions to give us a chance of playing in those group stages. And I think we're not too far away from doing that. And again, you're comparing what's happening in England, what's happening in Estonia or in Malta or in Iceland or in those other European countries where they've got populations of 3 million, similar to what Wales have got. You know, how many million is there in England?
I think people forget about that because we're so close to other teams.
That's always going to be the case. You're always going to compare with England, but it's like apples and pears, as I said. You can't compare the two. And, you know, is a player better off playing in the Welsh Premier League or is a player better off playing in the Conference? Now, that's a great debate, isn't it? Because is the quality of the football in the Conference better? Perhaps over the course of the season, the challenges are greater, possibly, because there's more teams at a similar level, possibly, I don't know. And more people watch those games. Whereas if we had similar numbers watching the game in Wales, would people's perception of how good it was change?
Yeah.
Because no doubt you've seen as many good games as I have this season, that potentially may be better than the Conference or League 2 or League 1 or even in the Championship as one-off games. But what we want to do is make sure that those games domestically, certainly from our point of view, are raised consistently throughout the season, and that's no disrespect to the other clubs in the league, because everybody is improving, because everybody wants to improve, and I think that's evident within all the clubs. It's not easy. All clubs face challenges in terms of, you know, attracting more players, better players, which comes at a cost to a point. But I know there's financial fair play, which I know the FAW are looking at in terms of how clubs run their financial affairs, which is important to ensure that we don't get another Barry Town or we don't have another Llanelli or an Eith. So we have clubs that are sustainable, and certainly coming back to the 3G pitches, that will help enormously when we want that to happen across Wales.
Absolutely. Just a couple of minutes left, Ian. Looking forward to this weekend. Gresford here in the Welsh Cup. They're flying in their league, so it's going to be a tough test.
It is. I went to watch them, actually, a couple of weeks ago against Llangollen. My brother's son, Sean, plays for them. I was writing my programme notes today, actually, and I made my senior debut for Gresford 32 years ago, which made me feel a little bit old. But, yeah, they gave me my first chance of senior football all those years ago, and I went on to Newtown and to Wrexham. But yeah, it's a great club, great family club, community club. I think what they've done this season has been a great achievement. They were hoping to come into Sunday's game also as an unbeaten club, but I know they fell by the wayside at Holywell in the Welsh Trophy last weekend. But it's a cup final for them, isn't it, next Sunday? So they're going to look forward to it. They're going to have a good day. And I think John Hill-Dunn has been giving little picture postcards to all the players and reminding them of his epic performance for Prestatyn when they beat Bangor in the cup final a couple of seasons ago. So I'm sure they'll enjoy the day. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd here. And who knows what the score's going to be, but hopefully we'll be on the right end of it.
And for that, I was going to ask you finally a prediction for Sunday.
I think we'll win the game. By how many goals, I'm not too sure. But whatever the score is, I'm sure everybody will have a good day.
And that's just all about all we got time for again on Saints Station. I'll be back at the weekend as the Saints, as we said, entertain Gresford in the Welsh Cup. I'll be live on TNS Radio from 12 noon with full commentary of the game. And the next Saints Station podcast we will have is 2 weeks on Thursday here at the venue on the 19th of February, as we welcome Newtown captain Matt Cook to the show, along with, as we said then, former Prestatyn and current Gresford goalkeeper John Hill-Dunn. So a massive thanks to Ian for coming on the show tonight. Thanks for listening, and make sure you tune in this Sunday, 12 o'clock, for the Welsh Cup game, TNS versus Gresford.